The year is 1877. Dakota Territory is a grim and desolate place, but in the small town of Sweet Ravine, law and order rule. The keeper of that peace is the most fair gunslinger west of the Mississippi. Hold on to those 10-gallon hats as we present the adventures of Sheriff Rawhide Law. Regret is a universal condition. No matter how much we cherish our present life, there are moments in our personal history which make us wish we had been better or kinder, or, in some cases, just sneaky enough not to have gotten caught. But wishing does not make it so, and we must face those memories and the shame they cause us when they pop up. Of course, occasionally it is more than a memory which makes up our regret. Sometimes it takes the form of a living, breathing person to whom we have done wrong. It may not have been our desire to do so. It may have been the only choice we saw at the time. Nevertheless, we have regret. And of course, where one human finds regret, as often as not, another seeks revenge.
Is it much farther, Mr. Murphy?
As I've mentioned a time or two, Mr. Campbell, if you desire to know where we're heading, I am more than happy to tell you, and you can feel free to continue this trip without me. I will just require the agreed-upon fee.
You won't even tell me how much farther we have to go?
Apparently not.
This is not how a professional relationship with a bounty hunter is supposed to go. Or am I wrong?
Well, I've been doing this long enough to learn a little flexibility. You offered a bounty of $1,000 if a certain individual is brought to you, dead or alive. Now, it just so happens that I'm not able to collect that bounty.
And would you care to expand on that reasoning?
Not at present, Mr. Campbell. You see, I cannot collect the bounty offered, but I am able to reverse the situation, bringing you to the certain individual instead of the other way around. Naturally, I don't expect the same remuneration for this. You and I have agreed to the price of $300. If you wish to know where we're going, just hand me that sum of cash, and I will tell you all you need to know so that you and your boys can go there. I naturally will take my leave and seek other employment elsewhere once our business is concluded.
Our business ain't concluded until I see the young woman I'm looking for with my own two eyes. And you ain't getting a nickel from me until that time comes. I don't trust you, Albert Murphy.
Well, I'd be offended by that if the feeling wasn't mutual, Saul Campbell. I knew your father, and I have a general understanding of the sort of son he would have raised.
You will be well advised not to slight my father, Mr. Murphy. He was a great man.
Never said he wasn't. I just don't trust great men as a general rule. Great men have a lot of things to think about. A lot of details to keep track of. Little matters like honoring a contract with a man no one much cares for. Well, sometimes those end up slipping through the cracks.
You have already dragged me across two states. Do you really think it's wise to test my patience?
I didn't drag you anywhere, and you know it. I don't much care if you lie to me, Mr. Campbell, but don't waste your energy lying to yourself. I know when you had those wanted posters made up, it made you feel real nice to put that little line about dead or alive. I also know that sometime since then, you've had a little voice whispering in your ear. What if someone takes you up on it? See, alive is fine. You can look the little filly in the eye and make sure she knows what's happening, why it's happening, and most importantly, that you're the one making it happen. But dead is just dead, Mr. Campbell. If you ain't the one that's done it, it don't count. That's why you came with me over two states, and that's why you'd be more than happy to give me $500.
We agreed on three.
We did. But you'll give me five, because this is better and you know it. You don't want someone killing her. Heck, you don't want someone bringing you the girl. You want exactly what I'm giving you. You want to be the one that made it happen.
$500, Mr. Murphy.
Wise choice. Especially since we're here. Stop the coach.
This is it? You brought me to this little podunk town in the middle of nowhere in particular? I'm unimpressed.
It's exactly where you want to be. Reckon that makes it what they call utopia.
Myself, I just call it home. Hello, Mr. Saul Campbell, Jr. We've been expecting you. Welcome to Sweet Ravine. All right, gentlemen. That's far enough. Welcome to our town square, such as it is.
Murphy, where do you think you're going?
Why, away, Mr. Campbell. I'm not one of your boys, and my work here is done. I'd stop at the saloon, but I'm not welcome there, so I'm heading out of town.
You lousy...
Oh, sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of me leaving.
Mr. Campbell, if you would be so kind as to join me in the sheriff's office, we can find out what it is you came here for and see about helping with that. I'm afraid there's not sufficient room in the office for the 15 men you've brought with you.
I believe, little lady, that you mentioned that you knew I was coming. If that's true, that means you must know what I want.
I have 2 things to say to that, and I will present them in the order of importance. First, please refer to me as Sheriff Rawhide Law, or simply as Sheriff. I don't take kindly to the phrase, little lady. Now, on the much less important topic of what it is that you want, I find that assuming I understand a situation before it's clearly spelled out to me is just rife with the possibility of unpleasantness.
I want Kitty McAllister. Is that clearly spelled out for you? How about the wanted posters I've had sent to just about everywhere in the country? She murdered my father, and I aim to settle that score.
I see. Well, murder is a very serious crime indeed. Let's go and discuss this.
Rusty?
Sir?
This uppity little Jezebel seems intent on wasting my time. Why don't you take some of these boys and show her why that's a terrible idea?
I realize that was a rhetorical question, Rusty, but I can give you several reasons why not. Suffice it to say, you don't want to play the hand this way.
Caleb?
Been a while.
What is this?
Allow me to present my husband, Mr. Caleb Law, though apparently introductions are not necessary in all cases.
Caleb and I have worked together in the past, sir. And if you'll permit me, he's a gambler. That means he's very good at seeing things and how they're going to play out. Sir, I think this is a mistake.
Well, I don't. Now take these boys and let's show these morons who they're dealing with.
I believe we're dealing with a bunch of plum fools who rode into the center of town and allowed the citizens of Sweet Ravine to get the drop on them.
Now, it took me and Slim about 2 days of work to pay for these bullets, so it'd be an awful shame if we didn't get to use them. You folks feel free to start reaching for your guns anytime you like.
As duly appointed spokesman for the temperance movement of Sweet Ravine, I wish to inform you that we oppose all possible forms of violence. I further wish to inform you that we're currently opposing them by way of these here scatter guns.
I believe it's considered poor practice for an undertaker to take it upon himself to drum up more business. But I should be clear that such considerations shan't be a deterrent.
Excuse me, you there with the red neckerchief? I think perhaps you're under the impression that nobody is in a position to spot you reaching for that rifle. Might be best if someone were to disabuse you of that notion.
Why, Fingers, I do believe you're right about that. Here, young man, let me help you off of that horse. Anyone else need a...
Miss Jessie, I think you might need to step away now. If the young rascal my wife just shot in the shoulder is any indication, I don't know that these visitors to our fair town have quite gotten the message. By the way, I'm very proud of you, dear. Your hands are a lot steadier these days.
Patience? Hand me that there match so I can light this here dynamite.
Mama, we talked about this. The dynamite is supposed to be the last thing we do.
Oh, it'll be the last thing, all right.
Simmer down, folks. Mr. Campbell, You threatened the peace of my town, and so far one of your boys is bleeding from the shoulder, and another one has a broken nose and a couple of impressive shiners. The decision of what happens next is entirely up to you. Tell your men to throw down their weapons, or we can visit the other logical conclusion.
Do you know who I am, Sheriff?
I know you're the man who I have a pistol trained on. Beyond that, I know you're the son of the man who considered large parts of Kansas to be his own personal kingdom. I know you're the heir of all that land and money, and I suspect you're probably quite used to being the one who tells people how things are going to go. Get unused to it right quick.
I don't take lip like that from some uppity little...
Boys, drop 'em. Every last one of you put your guns on the ground.
What exactly do you think you're doing? Let go of my arm!
Mr. Campbell, you were reaching for your gun. She knew it. I knew it. Every dang set of eyes in this town knew it. We also knew the minute you pulled it, she's gonna drop you. Drop you dead, sir. You're Saul Campbell. Great man. That don't make bullets kill you any less.
You should be happy to have at least one compatriot more concerned about you living to see another day than in bowing and scraping to your whims. As you recently ordered your men to perform unspecified acts of violence in my town, I am placing you under arrest, Mr. Campbell. Sam, you take the two idiots who are bleeding and escort them over to Dr. Malone's office. The rest of you gentlemen, leave your guns on the ground and ride out. Don't stop, don't look back, and sure as shooting, don't you even think about returning to the town limits of Sweet Ravine. I can promise you that doing so will be of no help to your boss man, and even less so to your lifespan.
Do as she says, boys. Get out of here. Get. I ain't leaving Mr. Campbell, Sheriff. You better arrest me, too.
I have no cause to arrest you, Mr. Rusty. But I can respect your loyalty to your employer. You can stay in the town limits, but I don't especially want to keep the two of you in the same jail cell where you can work on a way to get yourselves out. Now, one other matter to attend to. Pipsqueak, come out here.
I'm here, Alex.
You murdering snake.
That ain't what happened.
Quiet. Kitty McAllister, take off your badge and go put your pistol on my desk. I'm arresting you for the murder of Saul Campbell Sr. Putting you in the same jail cell is not going to accomplish anything productive, so I won't be doing that. I'm going to send for Judge Perkins. He'll be here in a few days. You'll be tried at that time, so don't you even think about leaving town.
I understand.
You can't try her here in this little backwater cesspool.
I'm sure you would prefer we send her back to Kansas, where every judge no doubt has permanent residence inside your pocketbook. However, Mr. Campbell, as I may have mentioned, your preferences are not a consideration in this matter.
I will not allow this,
sir.
And what options do you believe yourself to have here?
Mr. Campbell, you're being led by the nose here, don't you know?
I'll call you out, Sheriff. If that's the only way to get justice for my father, I don't have a problem with shooting a woman.
I accept, Mr. Campbell. I reckon high noon tomorrow ought to give you enough time to get your affairs in order. Until then, please make your way to my jail cell.
Jesse, you here? Jody said you were asking for me.
I was. Thank you for coming in.
What's going on?
Well, since you're not currently the deputy, I imagine there's not a lot for you to do but sit around and think. Am I wrong?
No.
Would you like to help me out in the shop? You don't have to, but I thought a little bit of distraction would be nice. Even if you just want to keep me company, that's fine too.
I can put that pink dress on the dummy and help you move it to the window.
Perfect. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Jesse, Jody mentioned that you wanted to see me. Is there...
Silas Malone, if you even think about turning around and walking out of here, I will knock you down and drag you back. And don't you think I can't or I won't?
Maybe I should just...
That goes for you, too. Ever since I found that wanted poster, you two have barely said a word to each other. I can't stand it anymore. Silas, there's going to be a trial. Kitty is going on trial for murder. Do you understand that?
I don't know if I understand much of anything these days.
It's all right, Jesse. I did a bad thing, and I can't pretend that I didn't...
It's not all right. Kitty, you're my best friend. I'm not losing you, and I am not letting my brother give up on you.
You don't understand.
Then help us.
I don't like to think about that day, but I guess you two should know. My daddy's eyesight was starting to give out on him. He knew he couldn't keep on doing the trick shots at the carnival for very long. Finally, he had saved up enough to buy a little spot of land. He knew I liked Johnny Cakes, so we were going to grow our own corn and make our own. When Daddy showed up at the farm to talk to the old man who was selling it, Saul Campbell was there, too. He wanted that land, and he told Daddy to go away. And when Daddy asked why, he just shot him. I guess nobody was supposed to ask Saul Campbell any questions. I was still in the wagon, and I screamed. Saul Campbell started heading my way. I don't remember picking up Daddy's gun. I don't know how it got in my hand, but I shot once. You know me. I never miss. I ran over to my daddy. But he was gone already. Then the farmer came out and started shouting, and I just grabbed the money in Daddy's hand and ran for the wagon. I buried Daddy's gun, kept my own, left just about everything in the wagon, and hopped on the first stagecoach that I saw. I shouldn't have ran.
You absolutely should have. You stayed alive, Kitty. That was the only thing you were supposed to do.
I was supposed to not kill anyone.
Silas, will you say something?
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. Kitty, I heard you tell me you shot a man and killed him. I heard it with my own ears, but I don't believe it. I've been trying for days, and I can't make myself believe it. I know what the truth is, but I can't make it make sense. I don't know what to do about that. I just don't know.
Silas, wait!
Let him go, Jesse. I don't deserve his...
Don't you dare finish that sentence! Now come here.
Why?
Because one or the other of us is going to start crying, and I don't know which one it's going to be.
I think it might have worked if I didn't know you.
Caleb? Still with them Derringers?
For everyday use, yes. I assume we have an understanding about sudden movements on your part?
We do.
I don't know if you staged that argument with Mr. Campbell that caused you to storm out of town, or if you intentionally picked a fight with him. But like I say, it would have worked if I didn't know you.
My bad luck, I guess.
You remember that piece of advice I gave you before we parted ways outside of Topeka?
Can't say as do. I was awfully drunk.
Yes, yes, you were. The advice was this. You don't have to play out every single hand. When you're going to lose, and you know you were going to lose, it's all right to fold and try again.
I promised Mr. Campbell and his father that I would do my best for them.
And you have. This is as good as you're going to do. I have the drop on you, and I'm not going to let you shoot the woman I love to save your boss. You did the best you could with the cards you were dealt, but you lost the hand.
So what happens now?
That depends on whether you're smart enough to fold. If so, you leave that gun on the ground, and we leave the smelly alleyway and head for Jody's saloon. The drinks are on me. If not...
Then I'm all out of chips. You chew on your metaphors too much.
That is a fair criticism. So what are we doing here, Rusty?
We're drinking, I think. The Campbells have been good to me. You can't blame me for trying to help them out.
I appreciate it, Rusty. Go ahead and leave that gun there, and I'll... Thank you, Slim. If you hadn't been here, I never would have been able to turn my back on him. I thought I had a chance of pulling it off, not having to bury an old acquaintance. Rusty always had another gun. I think I might pay to put that on his tombstone.
Little early to be letting me out, isn't it?
Little change of itinerary, Mr. Campbell. Wanted to get the details squared away.
You turning yellow, Sheriff?
If you're trying to rile me up, save your breath. For the record, I am still more than willing to put you in the ground before the clock is done striking 12 as we had previously arranged. However, there has been a development. I want to say no to this development. I want that pretty bad. But it's not my place to do that.
What are you going on about?
Let's step outside and get things squared away. Kitty McAllister, you sure about this?
It's the right thing to do, Alex.
Pipsqueak, of all the times in your life, why did you have to be right about this one? All right. Mr. Campbell, if you are all right with this, you'll be switching dance partners. Kitty here figured that it made more sense than you and I throwing lead.
This little backbiting Thumbelina wants to fight me?
Your daddy shot my daddy. I shot yours. Seems like this should be between us.
It does, doesn't it? Yes, Sheriff. This little change-up is all right with me.
Can we start now, sir? It's a few minutes before noon, but, well, I feel stupid just standing here.
The streets are clear. Let's go ahead. Here is your pistol, Mr. Campbell. I think you know what will happen if you try to use this for anything other than a fair duel. 10 paces away from each other, and then I'll throw up this coin. Draw when it hits the ground. Don't let her hesitate. Just please don't let her hesitate.
Oh!
Mr. Campbell, don't reach for it. I know you want to reach for the pistol I shot out of your hand, but please just don't. We can stop this right here. I know you look at me as a little girl who killed your daddy, and I know it can't seem right that you lost this duel, but you did. I didn't want to kill one man in my life, and I sure don't want to make it two. Please, please, can't we stop this just now? Oh.
Kitty!
Silas!
How bad is it, Doc?
Why did you let him get that shot off?
Doctor!
Silas, just let me go. I have blood on my hands.
No, I can treat this. It's not that deep, and you're going to be all right. I'm taking this bullet out of you. You're going to get better. We're getting married, and I'm learning how to cook Johnny cakes. I will make you Johnny cakes every day until we're both old and gray. Kitty, please.
Silas?
I told you before I didn't know anything, but I was wrong. I know I don't want to lose you. I want you beside me, if that's what you want.
Do you have a moment to kiss me before you pull this bullet out of me?
Regretting a thing we did is a natural part of life, and only sometimes are they more painful than regrets of something we didn't do. Sometimes there are no right choices, but if we do the best we can, sometimes we get to make a new choice. It might be the choice to forgive ourselves. It might be the choice to marry the doctor we've been sweet on since we saw his face. But we will never regret anything so much as not giving ourselves a chance to make a new choice. As the poet says, for all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. You've been listening to The Adventures of Sheriff Rawhide Law, Episode 11, produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Alex was Jill Wenzel. Kitty was Brianna Kuby. Saul Campbell was Ray Greenlee. Rusty was Michael Krellen. Jody was Liz Music. Albert Murphy and Zebediah Riggs were Adam Gastonway. Fingers and Jessup Canton were Andrew Dell. Sam and the Mayor were Rick Tennant. Clarabelle and Calamity Canton were Andy Gastonby. Jesse was Rebecca Scheimer, and Silas was Aaron Mankiewicz. Cowboy Sting by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Some other music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, partners. We'll see you again next time.
Hi, folks. I'm Dan Wenzel with Seat of Our Pants Players. I'm here with a special announcement.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jill Wenzel with Seat of Our Pants Players. I'm here to make sure he doesn't screw up the special announcement.
I do work better with a buddy. So, as you may have noticed, the sound quality on the show you just listened to was a lot more consistent than we've had for over about the past year. It's almost as if everyone was on the same microphone.
Yep. We managed to safely get the gang back together for a day in the booth. It was so much fun.
So much fun. I really wish that all our dear listeners could be with us and just see what a good time we're having.
Gee, if only there was a way someone listening to this right now could be with us as we're recording a live performance.
I think you can see where this is heading. You have two, count 'em, two chances to see Seat of Our Pants Players live and in person.
On November 20th and 21st at DCP Theater. That's in Telford in eastern Pennsylvania. You can join us for a live show!
The Seat of Our Pants Players Crassly Commercial Kringle Fest! We'll be recording some of our classic holiday shows now with some all-new content. It's your chance to see what it's like when we're all together and having a great time.
And even better, it's your chance to see what we're like when Dan can't edit out our mistakes.
And as that chilling realization runs down my spine,
you can get your ticket today at DCP Theater.
That's theater spelled R-E.
.com.
Click on the link for the 2021 outlet season and scroll on down till you see the link for our show.
Get your tickets today and come say hello.
DCPtheater.com. And as always, we'll talk to you later.